Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And big news from Congress this week. Lawmakers actually passed a rare bipartisan budget deal that will keep the federal government funded into 2017.
Then they said goodbye to a tearful John Boehner and elected Republican Paul Ryan as the new Speaker of the House. And with us now for a continuing series of talks with Massachusetts congressional delegation is Congressman Michael Capuano, Democrat from Somerville. And Congressman, good to have you back on Radio Boston.
Always a pleasure.
I'd love to just start by asking you about some news today that President Obama will deploy a small number of American special operations forces to Syria. Are you in favor of this deployment?
My initial reaction is no, but obviously I want to give the president the ability to convince me. It raises a myriad of questions that anyone could ask, but at the same time, I come from the school that if you're going to get engaged in military activity, you either go all in or stay all out. First of all, I don't think we should go all in, but nonetheless, I will listen to the president's arguments, but my initial reaction is this is not a good move.
Yeah, so I guess he's talking about a very limited deployment to Kurdish-controlled northern Syria, no more than 50 special ops forces. But would your concern sort of be the slippery slope argument that this sort of heads us deeper and deeper into this?
Yeah, I have several concerns. First of all, is the authority to do it. I don't believe in a king. I believe in a president, and I believe that any president who engages in military action on foreign soil should have the approval of Congress. I was one of four members that sued President Obama when he started lobbing missiles at Libya. And it's not because of the policy, it's because of the concept of one person being able to bring the United States into a war. So that's my first line of concern. But my second one is also, okay, even if we get past that, how do 50 people really change the facts on the ground? And what happens the very first time one of them comes under fire or, God forbid, gets killed? Is that now an act of war against us? To my knowledge, I don't know, I haven't done the research yet, we just heard this today, but I can't think of another situation we were actually on the ground in another country without being invited by the sitting government.
Yeah. Well, some big questions there. I want to move on because there are a couple other things I want to ask you about. And I want to ask you about the new speaker, Paul Ryan. He took over with promises that he would put things right in the House, and he was pretty blunt about what ails it. Let's listen to a bit of what he said.
Let's be frank. The House is broken. We're not solving problems. We're adding to them. And I am not interested in laying blame. We are not settling scores. We are wiping the slate clean.
So, Congressman, I'm curious, you know, they say to fix something, you first need to acknowledge that it's broken. I know he comes from the opposing party, but are you encouraged that he's at least acknowledging this problem? And do you think this is a new era now that the slate has been wiped clean, as he said?
Well, I hope so. I mean, hope springs eternal. I've always believed that people who seek elective office have to be amongst the biggest optimists in any group. We have to believe it's going to be better tomorrow. So I hope so. I'll give Paul the benefit of the doubt. But like anything else, I'm familiar with Paul Ryan's budgets when he was the budget chairman. I'm familiar with his tax proposals as the Ways and Means chairman, and they do not yet lead me to believe that we're going to be able to really get to a new time. I hope he has also cleaned his own slate and we could begin anew. We'll have to wait and see.
What about process? I mean, I'm curious about this. A lot of conservative congressmen have said that they objected to the top-down leadership, old-style leadership in the House, and they want more legislation to come from the bottom up. I'm curious if that's a concern shared by Democrats as well.
By some of us, yes. I do believe that, again, I'm not interested in kings and queens. I'm interested in a democratic process, which is messy when you have a lot of cooks in the kitchen. I know that. But it has worked well for this country for several hundred years, and I think it's the best way to go. So in theory, the answer is yes. I agree with him on that. But again, we'll have to wait and see whether he means it.
All right. Well, let me ask you about transportation. You're a member of the Transportation Committee, which last week approved a multi-year transportation bill that would spend very big money on highways, transit, and safety. Why is it important that Congress pass this bill?
Now, this bill is long overdue. Without federal action, everyone who drives the roads, anyone who flushes a toilet can see that our infrastructure is slowly crumbling. And anyone who's traveled will see that most countries are putting in a much higher percentage of their GDP into their infrastructure than we are. And, you know, that's really just no way to run a country. It's no way to plan for the future. Infrastructure is something that you need. You cannot have an economy without about it. In of itself, it is a good economic issue because it hires a lot of people to build those roads and bridges and water structures and sewer structures. So, I think most people understand why we have to donate our tax dollars to maintain and improve our infrastructure.
You know, long ago, it seems, before the days of paralysis in Washington, the transportation bill was talked about as something that Republicans and Democrats could sort of find common cause around. Do you think this might be something important that Republicans and Democrats will be able to pass together with this new speaker?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, you're 100% right. Transportation has always been a nonpartisan issue. There's no Republican or Democratic way to build a road.
Right.
But at the same time, it really does boil down to money. This bill is a good bill. It is not a great bill. This is not going to really move us forward. It's not going to really allow us to catch up on deferred maintenance, but it hopefully will help to alleviate some of the deterioration that we've seen. It's a pretty much of a hold harmless type of thing. It'll pretty much level fund what we have been spending. So again, it's a good bill. I intend to vote for it, absent some amendments that are not yet expected.
And can you point to sort of one? Is there like one project here in Massachusetts that stands out that this would be affected by?
Oh God, there's not really. It's all projects because most major projects are funded 50% federal money. I mean, most people don't see that because our state and local politicians are happy to pound their own chests, and that's fine. We're all in it together. But they almost never tell you that pretty much any project you can name was at least 50% funded with federal dollars.
All right. Well, that's Congressman Michael Capuano, who represents the 7th District of Massachusetts. Congressman, thanks so much. Always good to have you.
Thanks, Ian. Nice talking to you.